John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
Right now is Chris Carson, and so even though there's only seven carries, you got off to a pretty good start with the runs that you had in Denver.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the offensive line did a great job, and so it's made my job easy.
The one thing it seems like, I mean, nothing you do is easy. I mean, it's like you're constantly pushing, going. Like every ounce of you is trying to get that extra yard, that extra after-contact play.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my style of play, I guess. I'm more physical running back, so I like to make as much get as much yards as possible. So,
when did you develop that style? Has that always been the case?
No, probably my senior year in college when I really started getting to that. I used to be more of a finesse, make you miss type back, but then as I started putting more weight on, I became more of a downhill back.
So in your next to last year in college, what did you weigh?
My next to last year, I was like 210 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then my senior year, I was around like 220. So then that's when I really started becoming more of a downhill power back.
Yeah. What kind of got into your mind on that? Was something that the coaches thought about, something that you wanted to do, or what kind of got into that?
It's more of some of the running backs in the room, they used to make jokes saying like, oh, you squat like 500 pounds. But I noticed some running anybody over. So I kind of took that kind of like to heart, you know, my senior year in college. And so from then on, I was trying to run people over just so I can prove to them that, you know, just because I squat a lot, you know, that translates to the field. So.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, it was very effective. And the moment you started getting here, you got into the preseason in your rookie year, you showed that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I had kind of a chip on my shoulder being drafted so late. So I wanted to, you know, do all I can on the field just to show that I belong in this league.
But honestly, it seems like that's kind of the college trend right now. I mean, even though it's passing and it's spread offenses and send to wide receivers and all that stuff, I mean, there seems to be more physical backs coming out. I noticed in the first week, I think league-wide, running was up to 120 yards a game. Even though there wasn't a lot of 100-yard rushers, there was more rushing yards than any first week in about 8 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the league is starting to turn around to running the ball. I mean, you start seeing like a lot of these running backs get big contracts and everything like that. So you can see how the league is starting to appreciate the running back a lot more than what it was in years past.
Yeah, I mean, to take the jump from like $8.25 million to $14.5 million, it's not a bad move now.
Exactly. That's not bad at all. And, you know, hopefully I'm blessed to be in that percentage someday. So that's what I'm striving for.
Yeah. Wait, now, are you still at the 226, or now are you in that phase where you're trying to shed a few pounds?
Probably like 224, 223, in between there. I just lost some weight from camp. You know what I mean? That was kind of a lot.
Because you're at 226 now.
Yeah, so, I came in at 227, actually, in camp. And then, I'm trying to get that weight back. But like I said, camp kind of drained a lot out of me, so right now I'm around like 223.
So what's going to be the big thing now in converting the running game into week two? Because obviously there just wasn't enough attempts in week one, 14 to the running backs, and that's just not enough.
Just hopefully that they put it more in the game plan this year. I mean, this week. So from what we went over today, it seems like they want to try to run the ball a lot more. Give me, Rashad, and CJ, and Mike some carry, so I'm looking forward to see what the plan is this week.
Yeah, because that was the thing that's so surprising, because that was the whole emphasis from the beginning of the offseason. As soon as Brian Schottenheimer was hired, it's like we're going to run the ball. And then, of course, here's the first game, 15 running attempts, one by the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know what was the reason, but I mean, you know, we got to suck it up and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just only week one, you know, we got a bunch more weeks left, so you know, we're going to get the running game going.
Of course, I would imagine you're not too unhappy about not playing in mile-high conditions, 52-80 up in the air at 84 degrees. That was tough.
Yeah, that's probably the hardest game I would play in. The first drive, for sure, is the hardest I've ever played in, because, you know, that I'm just getting used to the elevation out there. And it was, you know, first play I was gassed, you know what I mean? It only took one play for me to start feeling it. So, yeah, I'm not mad at all about not playing there.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing I noticed. I mean, because I know it was hard to notice from the press box, maybe being down in the field, and I'm looking over there, and I'm seeing Rashad's kind of bent down, and, I mean, everybody was feeling it. And again, if you felt it the first play, can you imagine what it's like to be out there like Trey Flowers for 72 plays?
Yeah, I don't know how he did it. He's mentally tough, bro. He's different than a lot of people. So all credit goes out to him for that. But like I said, yeah, I was gassed after that first play. That was tough for me.
I know the one thing I had to keep on doing is go over and get hydrated because, again, I mean, as you dry out so fast, and I flew in that morning, so like, that takes even more out of you. So I made sure I was hydrated. I felt bad for everybody else.
Yeah, that's like you said. Right? I try to do the same thing, try to stay hydrated. I was on the oxygen mask a lot, and I never really used that before, but, you know, that really saved me during that game, being on that oxygen mask, so. It was rough, man. You definitely got to be hydrated for that game.
How good do you feel about the way you're running right now?
I feel all right. I'm still trying to get in the groove of things. Just trying to, like I said, I need to press the holes a lot more. Running the ball. And, you know, just getting my feet wet right now. But I feel good compared to what I did last year. You know what I mean? But I still got a lot of ways to go to get where I want to be. But I feel like I'm heading in the right direction.
That's the thing. I mean, you did well last year before the injury because if you stayed healthy, you would have been a 1,000-yard runner, and there was only like about 9 of those in the league last year.
Yeah, hopefully I was going to do that, and that was definitely a goal. But you know, my biggest thing is I want to stay healthy. You know what I mean? I want to be able to, you know, get to week 16, week 17 of the NFL season, and then you know get to the playoffs. You know what I mean? I want to just be. What could have been, you know what I mean? I don't want to be talking about like we're certain that he could be this. So, you know, that's my plan, that's my mindset.
I'm sure you probably don't pay much attention to fantasy football, but how funny is it that I know you have different fantasy. I'm not, they talk about the fact, oh, Rashad Penny's going to gain the 930 yards, and yet you're going to be the starter. And then it took really until about the middle of camp for everybody to understand that.
I'd be honest, I hate fantasy football. I really wish I didn't ever even create that, to be honest, just because it's just like, you know, the people are just, I don't know, people are paying attention more about their fantasy team than what's actually going on the field, you know what I mean? It's about us getting more points or whatever, so I really don't pay attention to it. I don't like it at all, but so I have nothing to say about that, to be honest.
Finally, what do you see from the Bears defense?
Great defense, you know, you got a star in Khalil Mack. You know, they got a great personnel, good safeties. It's going to be a physical group, so we just got to go on and game plan this week and try to see what we can do against them.
But the big thing is, it's at sea level. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be big this week, so I'm happy about that.
Hey, Chris, thanks.
Thank you.
Chris Carson, interesting talk. I mean, Maura, what kind of caught your ear on that? I like how he talked about how he went from a guy that was kind of abused a little bit by his teammates in college, saying he was too finesse, and so he goes in his last year and becomes now a physical type of back.
Yeah, and I like how he tied that in with, you know, going so late, being a seventh-round pick that put kind of a chip on his shoulder, and he kind of wanted to just be that punishing back and prove that he belonged in this league. I thought that was really interesting. Also, he definitely let you know that it was not hype, that the elevation was an issue, that was a really big problem for him from the first play, he said. So
first
that was,
play, how about that?
Wow, yeah.
I mean, feeling it from the very first play, and then, you know, to even say, you know, maybe it wasn't bad that I didn't have all those extra carries, because now it's a little bit fresher coming into this game, in a game that it's a must win, I think.
Yeah, it gives you hope. He seemed to be very relieved that they were playing in a low altitude situation this week. It gives you hope that maybe things are going to be different in the run game.
You would think so. I think that's going to be what's going to be interesting to kind of see. But yeah, I thought it was a fun interview. I mean, he was really went a lot of different directions.
Yeah. Great job, Professor.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And you can check out the show in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up next, let's get a chance to get what's going on and get the report card going. We'll grade what's happening in sports. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time for the report card with the Professor.
And, of course, each day we take out the report card, and the report card is grading the good, the bad, the ugly, the smart, the silly, the dumb, all the things that you would think that you want to put a grade to, whether it's an action, whether it's something that's in the news or outside the news, anything like that. It's time for the report card. And, Maura, what do we have?
Well, up first, we have a little clip from last night on NFL Network during the Ravens-Bengals coverage. Steve Smith and Michael Irvin seem to have, I don't know if it's a friendly rivalry. I think it's just a rivalry. It didn't seem so friendly. But Steve Smith had some words for Michael Irvin on thinking that he is the better route runner.
Still on the
set
right now.
I got a doctor in route runner.
Like
talk about it. I got a doctor route runner. You got
tell him about
you
it.
Got an associate's degree. Play,
hey, bro.
Let's community college.
Got three.
Wow.
He has a doctorate, and Michael Irvin has an associate's degree from a community college.
Wow. Are they trying to now, Steve Smith and Michael Irvin, trying to do a Barkley and Magic type of, not Magic, but a Barkley type of thing?
Shaq.
With Shaq?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like, I guess we can give them a, kind of a B-. I mean, it's like, I mean, let's put it this way. Both were great players. Michael Irvin's in the Hall of Fame. You know, Steve Smith has a chance to get into the Hall of Fame. So I guess, that will be interesting to see. But, wow. I mean, they're really kind of getting into it pretty bad.
I mean, he was known for being a trash talker when he played.
Right.
And I guess Irvin was, too. But it just, I don't know. If you watch the whole thing, when they went back and forth, it just didn't seem like it was all,
didn't seem to
all
be
in
friendly.
Jest. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit, almost a little bit over the top.
So we'll see. But I love Steve Smith.
Yeah, he's really intriguing, isn't he?
He hit harder than some defensive players as a small receiver. It was impressive.
Well, and sometimes he would even do it on his own teammates.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember when he took off one of the running backs?
Yeah. next up, we have another trash talker. Jalen Ramsey is still going on about the comments he made on Rob Gronkowski. He was asked about them by a reporter yesterday.
As your defensive coordinator, if someone says Rob Gronkowski is overrated, what would you say to that person? He said he's crazy.
Might be crazy. I don't care.
People call him the best ever, and you're not going there. You're saying, I guess he's
good. He good now. We ain't gonna get it twisted. He's good, but you saying this to me, is it supposed to bring fear to me or something?
Yeah.
All right then. I don't fear no man. Period. So he gonna have to come out there and line up on me.
Wow. How about that?
He gets so upset with reporters. That was happening last year, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he minces no words. That's one thing I think we know about him. It's kind of fascinating to kind of watch all that stuff. But I'll give him a B-, I guess. He didn't elaborate, which, of course, you'd like to see him elaborate a little bit more. That's going to be fun. But, it's very interesting to see that he just doesn't stop, does he? I mean, he's going to take on just about anybody. And you talk about a team with a chip on its shoulder. I mean, there's no doubt that they have a big, big chip on that shoulder.
Well, it's funny that you say he would take on just about anybody, because he actually spoke to that as well.
I feel like to respect the game, you have to play it fierce. You got to play it. I don't believe in having friends on the field. My brother, my dad, my mom, grandma was out there. It's on. After the game, we can be cool. It doesn't matter. That's how I feel like you got to respect the game of football. Football is not a game meant to be played, being nice to each other and all that, like kumbaya. But after the game's over with, that's cool.
You wouldn't really hit your grandma.
No, I definitely would. She know that. My grandma know that. I love you, but she know that.
You would hit his grandma if she was out there, Professor.
How about that? I think we got to give him a D in that one. You're not going to be hitting a woman. That's not the right thing to say and not the right thing to do. Let's not mince words on that stuff. I mean, it's not. I think we're beyond that point in life right now. So I think that that has to be cleaned up. But hey, it's fascinating to hear the guy because, again, he is not afraid to say anything that he wants to say. And he's very open with reporters, which, of course, you like guys that are open with reporters.
Yeah, and they asked Gronkowski about his original comments, and he really didn't play too much into it. This was his response.
But you think he's like, it doesn't. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. Because, it motivates you. You're hearing that. Obviously, there's something out there that he saw on film and stuff that I could probably get better at football in some certain categories. You don't always feel the best every single day when you're out in the field, so That's how he feels.
Okay, well, how about that? I mean, how he feels is how he feels. Gotta like that. So, I'll tell you what, he does get it stirred up, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, now you have to hope that Jalen Ramsey gets the assignment to cover him on Sunday, because that's just going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's hardly anybody to cover. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, you know how
true
thin it is. I mean, you know, you got two choices. You got Chris Hogan or you got Philip Dorsett, and then Cordarrelle Patterson, who's more of a special teams player. I mean, who is out there to try to cover?
Well, they just picked up Corey Coleman, but I doubt he's starting this week.
I mean, I don't even know if Corey can pick up the playbook.
Yeah, well, it's been a problem for a lot of receivers, let alone someone that's washed out of a couple teams already like mm-hmm. he has. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm just still amazed that they haven't filled out that roster on some of the stuff that's going on with the wide receiver. I mean, it's thin.
And now they lost Jeremy Hill for the season because mm-hmm. they use their backs as receivers a lot. It's definitely thin. We'll see what happens this week. I'm excited for that rematch.
Oh, yeah. No, that should be good.
Next up, we have It's All Trash Talking today, Professor.
Oh, good.
Landon Collins from the New York Giants was talking about playing the Cowboys this week, and he says that they will be better off if they make sure that they make Dak Prescott put it in the air rather than the run game, basically, that he thinks that Ezekiel Elliott is harder to shut down than Dak Prescott. He said, if we do that, if we put the ball in Dak's hands, I think we'll have a better shot at winning. When Dak Prescott was told what Collins said, he just said, challenge accepted.
Okay, so I kind of look at the idea that it's one where I think that you can see people are starting to gang up on Dak Prescott, which I think
is wrong. I was going to ask you what you thought. He's really
he's taken a lot.
He went from golden boy to everybody saying that he's not that great of a quarterback, and he just had a good setup with that offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think it's pretty evident. I mean, you can see Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he's pretty good for 80 to 100 yards in just about any game. I think he had 66 or so in the first game on 14 or 15 carries. But I mean, if he gets enough carries, he's going to get the yards. And naturally, against Ezekiel, you're going to go against the box. And it's also I mean, it's like what people don't keep bringing up is the lack of depth or lack of quality at the receiver position. I mean, when Allen Hurns is your best wide receiver, I mean, he's a good second or a third. I mean, he's good. I mean, he was making $11 million with Jacksonville, but how good is he really? So, I kind of look and say, a little suspicious on that one. So I guess in this criticism, I'll give it a C+, because I think, don't sleep on Dak. I know that he's had a stretch here, about five or six not so good games, and people are down on him. I still like him. I think he still has the mentality, the work ethic of a guy like Russell Wilson. And if he's got problems, he'll fight through it.
Yeah, I think it's a little early to throw him under the bus as much as they have. But yeah, lack of receivers, that offensive line's not where it was at before. Obviously, there's going to be some regression.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should all be put on him.
No, I agree. That's just too much.
All right, last up here, I wanted to get your grade. We mentioned it earlier for Joe Flacco having quite the rough night last night in Thursday Night Football.
Well, I think, he had an F. I mean, I like Flacco a lot. I think that, he is a very good quarterback. I thought he got off to a great start. He had a great training camp, and, I mean, he was pathetic. I mean, all the passes that were batted down, the overthrows, I mean, he was horrid. I don't know what happened to him, but it was not good. And so, he'll get a D-.
Well, they are working Lamar Jackson in a little bit. I think he was featured in 31 snaps the first week, but he also did take some reps once they made it a blowout against the Bills. Do you see him getting in there at any point if Flacco keeps playing like this?
No, he's not ready. No, I don't think there's any competition, but I think it's something that irritates Flacco. I mean, because again, I mean, you've seen how he responded. I mean, he did have a great camp. And he did do a lot of positive things. But in the end, it's trying to have a good game. And, he's 3-7 now in games in Cincinnati. So it's not like it's not out of his question to have a bad game against them. That's, I think, just one of the realities. And again, it was a road game. I mean, they really didn't do a good job blocking up front. I mean, how many times did, Geno Atkins penetrate and all that stuff? So his performance was a D-, because, again, he just wasn't good.
Yeah, Carlos Dunlap got in there a lot, too. It was a rough night for him, but we'll see if the Bengals are for real, too. I think the biggest takeaway everyone had from that game was, wow, if the Bengals are doing this to the Ravens, then the Bills are really, really bad.
Yeah, well, I think their Bills are really, really bad. Hey, to give you a couple injury report updates, as we mentioned, Josh Sitton has rotator cuff problems. He goes on the injured reserve guard for the Miami Dolphins. You know, it looks like Josh Martin is out at linebacker for the second game for the Jets. And, of course, the safety Marcus May is going to be out for another game with a foot injury. They're still waiting till tomorrow to kind of get a judgment on Aaron Rodgers, whether he's going to do anything and whether he's going to practice. Looks like a game-time decision on Leonard Fournette of Jacksonville. He has a hamstring injury. He's officially listed as questionable. Darren Sproles is now out to join Alshon Jeffrey and Carson Wentz. Sproles has a hamstring injury. Olivier Vernon is out with an ankle injury for the second straight week for the New York Giants. Devontae Freeman is going to be missing this game. Freeman, of course, having his injury problems, and so he's going to be out. So lots of big injuries. And then, of course, you look at what's going on with Carolina. I mean, Greg Olson's out. They had to put Darrell Williams, their right tackle, on the injured reserve list, and guard Trey Turner is out with a concussion. That's not good. Hey, you can check out the show, 710 Sports App, driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up next, we are taking text questions, 710-710.
You're listening to The Professor, John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, so it's time to take your text question, 710-710. Lots of injury news in the National Football League. Seahawks signed Michael Kendricks. I thought it was an interesting signing. So what do we have, Maura?
360 says, whatever happened to Thomas Rawls?
He went to the New York Jets and did not make the team, and a team probably is as thin in the running back position as any in football, so not a good sign. Has not had any workouts to our knowledge since then, and so at the moment he's looking for a job.
The 253 says, dear Professor Clayton, on paper the Bears seem very similar to the Broncos. What is different about the Bears that might benefit the Hawks?
Well, I mean, they're younger at quarterback. That helps. They're less talented at wide receiver. That helps. Probably a wash on the offensive line. They're probably a little bit better at tight end. Running backs, I mean, they're a little bit more accomplished at this stage. So I think those are the biggest differences. And, you know, you're talking about a 5-win team. Now, I know that the Broncos had a real bad season, but they have more talent than that. But the big thing is a younger quarterback who you might be able to hold back.
All right, the 360 says, JC, our rushing game has been an issue, obviously. Do you see it breaking out against Chicago's defense?
Breaking out, no, but I think having a better game. I mean, I think that, you know, as long as they can try to get anywhere close to 110, 112, 113 yards, something like that, I mean, they just have to do better. I mean, you can't continue to have 14, 15 running plays in a game. That's simply not going to make it. And if you're going to be doing that, you're going to have a real long season. So, I think that it has to be better. I mean, again, it's going to be a good defense they're going up against, one that's going to be challenged. I think that they will have a better running game.
425 says, takeaway from Thursday Night Football, Baltimore versus Cincinnati. Alex Collins is a stud back, and the Hawks' approach to running lacked the ability to evaluate him. Is the problem in the post-Marshawn era maybe that the run game is no good?
Well, I mean, I think you can see there's talent in the backfield. I mean, you can see there's Chris Carson, there's Penny. I mean, McProcise is a talent. Mike Davis is solid. And, you know, you watched last year, and he was fifth. I mean, that shows you how talented it is, but they've got to get the most out of that talent. They did not do that in the first game of the season. And so I believe the talent's there. I mean, to go back and look at the Alex Collins thing, I mean, Alex, I think, is a two-down type of back because he's not good catching the football. You look at the other three guys, they're all good catching the football. Here. I don't know if Mike Davis is all that good catching the football, but no, this is still a talented group, but they've got to get more out of this talent.
253 says, hey, John and Maura, good morning. Is Monday night's game a must win for the Hawks?
Yes, I think so. If they don't win, you know, I have to readjust my prediction, because I still say 8 or 9. And, you know, if they go 0-2 in the start, you know, to come back out of that hole, because then if you can't beat the Chicago Bears, the Bears aren't terrible, but if you can't beat the Chicago Bears and get a split on the road, then you're not going to have many road wins. And if you're not going to have many road wins, you're not going to necessarily have a winning season.
206 says, can you imagine if Seattle had Dallas's offensive line, 16-0 easily?
That's nice to say, but, you know, if you have Dallas's offensive line, what players are you going to give up? because, again, you know, you have to pay those players. And you've got, you know, one of the higher paid left tackles, one of the higher paid centers, one of the higher paid guards, and a $7.7 million right tackle. So, yeah, it's nice to be able to say that. But, again, what sacrifices do you make to be able to fit that all in?
And I don't think their offensive line's exactly where it has been the last couple years.
No. I would agree with that.
253 says, hi, John. Would you agree that Rashad Penny's running is only effective if he reaches the second level but is unable to do that without superior run blocking?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, it's funny because, I mean, it wasn't as bad as some of the things we saw last year with Eddie Lacy, but how many times, you know, as soon as you saw Penny get the ball, boom, somebody was right there in his face to bang him. And so that has to get fixed. They definitely need to get better run blocking. And again, I think they will. They just have to do it.
360 says, Professor, Chicago deep dish pizza or Seattle fish and chips?
Probably Seattle fish and chips, because, you know, I stay away from pizza nowadays for the most part. I don't eat many pieces of pizza during the course of a year. I mean, remember, we had a pie that was right there just about every day they were over at the Seahawks at training camp. I didn't even have a single piece, because what happens is it just goes right on my, I might as well just take the pizza and just stick it on the side of my body, because, again, it just kind of goes right and just blah. So it's like, I guess, you know, you go with the fish and chips.
Meanwhile, I was shamelessly eating pizza for breakfast while we were watching all these athletes work out. It was just sitting right there. It smelled so good.
It was early. Very nice.
253 says, John, what are the chances of the Browns winning 8 games?
I don't see it. They haven't even won a game yet. I mean, so I'd say 5. You know, I don't know if they're going to be 4-11, or if, you know, I have to think about the new numbers, 4-11-1 or whatever. But I think that they're still going to be a 5-win team.
425 says, is the Saints defense really as bad as they looked against the Bucs, or is it a group just trying to find itself?
I think it's a group trying to find itself. I mean, the first week, I mean, it was more scoring than most years. I think that's because, again, you're not in game shape as a team. You're not up to the best task in being able to get that together. So, no, I think that they'll be better because they got talent. I mean, you know, you look last year, I mean, what, they got like 3 starters out of the rookie class, including Marcus Lattimore and a good safety and Marcus Williams. And, you know, they can't be as bad as that, because, I mean, that defense was horrible the other day.
206 says, Seahawks need a better mix of place screens, play action. The text just started coming in and I lost my spot. They want to know if said last game was on the coaches. Will the Hawks open up the playbook this week?
Let's not open up the playbook. Let's kind of close the playbook and go to the running game a little bit more. I mean, let's not get too creative here. I think what it comes down to is execution, and just try to go out there and establish the running game, maybe work a little bit of fast-paced offense to get things going. But I think that, don't be overly creative. I think, you know, in some ways, trying to hit those long passes and that, they got a little overly creative. I mean, it worked. They did get big plays. I mean, Russell Wilson had a big day for yards and all that stuff and had touchdowns and all those things. But I think just getting execution as opposed to opening the playbook.
509 says, JC, what can we expect from Shaquem Griffin this week? Will he get any snaps on defense, or will he be limited to special teams?
No, I think that, again, it was like, what's going to be the option as far as who's going to play? I think he still starts. I mean, I can't guarantee that. They may go with Austin Coletro, but he still is the backup weak side linebacker. And if indeed, as we all say, KJ Wright's not going to play, then I think Griffin's going to be out there. I think they'll just kind of monitor it more, because if he struggles, I think that they'll give him a little bit more of a break.
360 says, how much are the Seahawks missing Sheldon Richardson?
I think they're still okay on that. I mean, Sheldon got off to a great start, which I'm not surprised of. I mean, you know, I can't say that Jaron Reed is at his level yet, but I think Reed is good. I think Tom Johnson's good. Steven looks good. So overall, I mean, I think that's their deepest position, defensive tackle. I mean, that's the one thing I think that you can cling to. They've got good defensive tackles. Now what they have to do is stop the run better.
206 says, John, do you think Matt Ryan will have a better game against the Panthers this week?
Can't be as bad as the first one, so I think so. Although it doesn't help that Devontae Freeman's not going to be in the game, and now it looks like Steve Sarkisian's getting a little bit snippy at some of the criticism, because I know Kurt Warner from the NFL Network criticized him on a play call, and he kind of snapped at him and says, well, you didn't know what the play was, and so he told him what the play was, and he says, and you didn't read the covers wrong. You got that wrong, Kurt. Well, if you're under as much pressure as Steve Sarkisian, and that's the way you're reacting, this isn't a good sign.
No, it's well-deserved criticism. I mean, how long has Matt Ryan been there and been with Julio Jones, and we've never seen this offense struggle like this?
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of commonalities that were there before him, and then all of a sudden the offense is struggling. It's not, you don't need to be a football aficionado to see that. The 206 says, John, I was encouraged the 49ers were so competitive against the Vikings, but for a fumble and drop pass, they might have won. Your thoughts?
Okay, now what team was that again? That was
49ers.
The 49ers. I just think that, again, they're more next year's team than this year's team. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo did not have a good game. But, I mean, think about how thin this team is. I mean, you know, they had the six injuries in the opening preseason game, and then Jarrett McKinnon hurt his knee in the next practice after that game. That was seven players, and they're still just getting guys back. I mean, they traded away Eli Harold, which now might be a mistake. You know, Malcolm Smith hadn't come back from his hamstring injury yet. McKinnon ends up blowing out his ACL. You go into the first game, and they lose two guards, so now they're down to a rookie that has to start at guard. I mean, all these things, because, no, there's just not a lot of depth. And by the way, did you see Richard Sherman's first game? I think he was on the field for like 70 plays. You know how many passes were completed on him?
How many?
1 for 3 yards.
Wow.
Not bad.
We'll see if he can keep it up. But yeah, after that play went viral in training camp, it's a much better start than I think a lot of people expected.
Well, they stayed away from him, and that's what they did when he was here.
Speaking of former Seahawks, the 206 wants to know if you think Beast Mode still has it.
I mean, he has some left. I mean, I still thought that he got exactly what I thought he got last year. I think he's going to get less than 850 this year. I think he's not a 1,000-yard back at this stage. I think that, you know, age
no,
is
but
still there.
Dragging all those Rams into the end zone with him the other night was reminiscent
yeah,
of his
was
time
a good
here.
Play, no doubt.
All right, that's it for text today.
Okay, and you can check out the show, 710 Sports App, driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up next, we'll check in with Dave Crosby.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports App.
And joining us right now is Dave Crosby. And so, Dave, big game coming up for the Seahawks. They got the Chicago Bears. What kind of feel do you have after seeing the Denver game and what they are going into the Chicago Bear game?
not a particularly good one, John.
Yeah.
Not a particularly good feel. I think that the lack of Doug Baldwin is a huge factor going in. I think having a weapon that may be even more intense than Von Miller on the Bears side, and Khalil Mack should be that much more dialed into what they want him to do this week, is going to bode tough for the offense. The Bears are interesting in that they had really a tale of two halves. That first half against Green Bay with their new head coach, I mean, they looked unique on offense and were very productive and had the Packers spinning around. Second half, they were completely shut down for the most part. So I think the spread is about right, about 3 points, which is basically a pick 'em game, an either way game, and that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, because and I think, you know, one injury here or there can play the difference, and I think that played the difference last week in the sense that, you know, when you saw that, okay, now they're really going to have to be young and all that, that it was going to be very difficult. And, you know, with all the new guys out there in the field, it made them vulnerable and it made them look like it was going to be tough to win in Denver, and it was. And now it's a matter that this game is going to be really close. I think the one advantage, though, is like it's Russell Wilson going up against a young quarterback in Mitch Trubisky.
That's the truth, but the Seahawks didn't put much pressure on Case Keenum, and that's a big factor. Trubisky is vulnerable, but as you pointed out, the Seahawks are playing a bunch of different guys on defense. Injuries are telling a big tale, Baldwin being the big one on offense, but K.J. Wright very badly missed on defense. So we'll see. The Bears should have a little bit, even though it's a crushing loss to the Packers, they should have a little bit of optimism in terms of how they played. They looked better than they've looked in recent years.
No, I mean, they really did, and that was kind of fascinating to see because, again, getting a 20-0 lead over the Packers, and then, of course, Aaron Rodgers going down. But I think you saw in the second half there was some definite problems with Trubisky because he struggled with his accuracy and really couldn't get anything done.
No, and that's, the Packers, I think, on balance have a better defense than the Seahawks, so we'll see if the Seahawks can do that to them, but I think it's going to be a very competitive game.
Yeah. What area do you think needs to improve the most? I know we took calls on that. Would it be the offense, or do you think it'd be the defense?
That's a good one. 24 points should be enough to win a game in the National Football League, so I'm going to say it's the defense. Defensive pressure was non-existent. If I was to specify something, I'd say pass rush was the biggest deal. It makes up for a lot of sins. You know, it can undo a lot of bad things. If you've got a good defense, it can force a bunch of three and outs. So I would go on defense.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
I think the improvement has to come from the offense because it's going to make it easier for the defense.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because, they really do need to get some consistent drives because, everything falls in the defense when you're out there on offense for 50 plays or so, and that's not good. And so that's where I think that they need to get a running game. They need to, get the possession time in their side. I mean, all those things, I think, have to play a big role in where they are.
Can't disagree with you, John.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to change my opinion, but that's a very good point.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson needs a better game. Again, I think he's probably taken a little bit too much criticism on some of the stuff, but I think that it's
well, being his team and being the quarterback of that team, he's got to wear that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's gonna take too much criticism. He's gonna get too much credit when things go well, and he does, but definitely too much criticism when things don't go well. And he's got to wear it. I mean, they did build everything around him. He's been good enough to win games for him in the past. And it stood out that, for all the gnashing about penalties and things like that, they had three shots at taking a lead in that game against Denver and did not do it in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So,
of course, the one thing is, I mean, he did get that one drive in the big long play that gave him a lead in the fourth quarter. And then,
true.
The Janikowski field goal worked, the 46-yarder, I mean, he may not have to do all those spin moves and get sacked by Von Miller down the stretch in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but the point is, John, even though he did lead one drive, they had three chances after that drive when Chicago scored, and he did not lead a touchdown game-winning drive,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of what people expect from him, and justifiably so.
Right, and he has to get that and get that working because, again, that's necessary. The running game is going to be necessary. Definitely need a better game out of Brian Schottenheimer in the play calling, I think.
I agree. I mean, look, the running game was supposed to be a deal, and it was not. It was exactly like last year. Now, I understand that you don't want to just ram your head in the middle of the pile for 2 yards, 2 yards punt, except that's what he said he was going to do.
Right.
He said there were going to be times when they were going to run the ball when everyone knew they were running it. So, yes, I think getting the running game going is absolutely critical. If you have a running game,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you may not have one again.
Well, they got the talent to have the running game. The offensive line has to do the blocking, and they have to give more efforts than get the ball in the hands of Chris Carson.
Yeah, they do.
Because I think he's pretty good. So on the Husky front, they take on Utah. Important game. I mean, one that kind of defining because they don't have the luxury of getting another loss in the conference.
Well, they don't have a loss in the conference yet, so I mean, they just don't have a luxury of another loss if they want to play for any national championship hopes. And they need Auburn to keep winning. Auburn's got a big game against LSU this week. Utah is, for most people's money, the team to beat in the South because of all the players that USC lost, the change at UCLA with Chip Kelly. Utah's defense under Kyle Whittingham is extremely good. They played two cupcakes, basically, leading into this game and weren't particularly impressive except on the defensive side of the ball. But it was Northern Illinois and Weber State. But they have talent on defense. They have played Washington well. In fact, probably should have beaten them. It wasn't last year. It was the year before. The game is in Utah. It's a blackout. It's a night game. There's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and excitement for it, having a top-10 team in. So they'll be amped for it. The real question is going to be, in my opinion, the Husky defense in this game, which has played really well. But that's going to be the key. I mean, Utah's defense is going to keep this a low-scoring game. And if Washington's defense can match them, then the Huskies have got more playmakers than Utah has on offense and more of a chance to connect on a big play and make something happen. But it was, the 45-3 game last week was a mirage. That was backups who did most of that work. The starters did not do particularly well against North Dakota. Hey, that's okay. I mean, they just came off a very disappointing loss to Auburn. They thought they should have had going up against an FCS team. You kind of expect a letdown. But this is a real challenge against a team that most people think of as the team to beat in the South. I think it's going to be a low-scoring slugfest, a real good game.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's going to be pretty good and kind of interesting to see. And do you like what you see of Washington State so far?
Yeah, I think what you got at Washington State now is a program. Mike Leach is not the kind of guy, when you lose a couple of top players, and even with the tragic loss of their quarterback, Mike Leach is recruiting enough talent, has been there long enough to be in a situation where they reload for winning seasons, and they should have another winning season. So it's a different sort of mentality at Washington State, where you would kind of load up, have one good year, and then a couple of bad years. I think Mike Leach means pretty good years every year.
Mm-hmm. tell you what, that guy's a good coach. And
he is.
It's funny because a couple years ago he brought you a running game that you didn't expect, and now he brings you a defensive team that you didn't expect.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you got to, you know, you've seen it on your level. You've seen it with Brian Billick, of all guys, coaching one of the great defensive teams of all time. I mean, you know, you see that occasionally, and great coaches know how to adapt to the talent that they have.
No doubt. So what's on Bob Grouse and Tom today?
We got this John Clayton guy talking NFL at 2 o'clock.
Ooh, that should be.
You ought to listen in.
Oh, that'll be good. And, of course, it's a Friday, getting ready for that. And, of course, we'll get a chance to chat tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow at 10.
Okay, tomorrow at 10. And, of course, I will be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock from 9 until 12. And I'll be back on Monday from Chicago from 10. Our thanks to Maura Dooley for producing everything and running everything. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.